Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Amy Beth Shaver with Allison Sinclair and JP. So we're circle back Saki.
May she rest in peace.
Best kind of way. Because we've talked about a lot. We just finished up talking about Maduro, which led to elections, which led to talking about Tommy Tuberville and the wonderful statement he put out yesterday about the Islamic Academy. And I may or may not have given y'all a Christmas present because you know what I did? Because I'm a ding-dong. I forgot to tell you the name of Geert Wilders' book, which is called Marked for Death.
What a title.
Marked for
Death. It's a little vague.
Well,
okay.
It is so vague. Like, you don't even know what he's talking about.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like a buffet. Like, where do you go? I'm kidding. Marked for Death. Okay, but now, circle back Saki. COVID. Allison Sinclair had questions.
Okay, these are just a few things I wrote down as y'all were talking.
Okay.
Why is it that the most educated are the most easily fooled or taken advantage of?
Wait, do you want to go first?
Do you have an idea?
I do.
Okay.
That was a pregnant pause. Very loaded.
Well, so I didn't want to step on Amy Beth's toes. No, I mean, I wouldn't say educated. I would say like the traditional educational system, like college.
Right,
and
right.
I think it's the indoctrination. Trust me, you know, trust the science. I know more than you, so take my word for it, educated. Because a lot of the traditional educational system is just regurgitating what you're told, being able to memorize what you're told instead of, you know, critically doing research of your own. So I think being able to listen really well and truthfully be indoctrinated really well is why, not even just with COVID, but across the board, the ones who go on, you know, Fox and with their suit and I've got this by my name, I've done this, I got experience in this, I know what I'm talking about. Well, now that just means you know how to rise the ranks in whatever system you're in. So you just know how to play the game really well and you know what you've been told really well. So I think that's why the ones who do education on their own and actually do critical thinking and research, those are the ones that aren't fooled. But in the traditional system, they're just a lot easier to be indoctrinated, I guess.
And I think on top of that, because I would love to know what you think, Allison, don't you also believe, and I may have mentioned this earlier, but with Marxism came the rise of the, quote, expert class?
Yeah.
And so if you were not an expert, you were not allowed to speak out. And if you did, immediately in the media, you were shamed because what is your status? You're just a little plebeian human being. You're dirt. We know all the things. But I do see that with the rise of Marxism coming out of our schools, without young men and women being able to, we're not taught how to think anymore. And so, of course, you're going to do exactly what you're told because you go to classes and you listen to your professors, and your professors would never lie to you. And if you look at professors, what is it, 87 or 97% of them list themselves as being familiar with Marxist ideology? So you're coming out of an institution that you've been in for a while, and then the longer and the more credentialed you are, the longer you've been in. And those are the people that are like, trust us, we're the experts. And so I think that's part of it. I think that you see that reflected, that Marxist ideology coming out and them going, only an expert can speak to this. Meanwhile, the rest of us are out here going, what you're saying makes no sense at all. And then they use shame and then they use gaslighting. Those were kind of the first times that I really started to notice it was during COVID, was all the gaslighting for speaking out, which then you and I know Jordan Vaughn, who has become one of the leaders in the freedom movement for doctors and for healthcare. And he just used to say very often, when you're in with your patient, you don't want to be thinking about public health. You're thinking about the person right in front of you. When the powers that be wanted us to all think only about public health instead of the person right in front. And that's what we've got to get back to is individualized medicine. But that's why I think I completely agree with you. And adding on to it, I think that Marxist ideology comes out in those people that we only listen to certain groups, and that's the only acceptable group to listen to. I also think, though, it's a hope issue and a future issue and a where are you going when you die issue. Because if you have hope, then you're immediately like, well, okay, this could be bad. I don't know. But my whole life isn't baked into, if I do what the experts say, I won't die. You found out in COVID that a lot of people were afraid of dying. Why are you afraid of dying? Because maybe you don't know where you're going to go when you do die. And so I think there was a fear factor undergirding most of it. And they knew that and they got away with it. And they scared us half to death.
I hadn't thought about that angle. For me, I look at especially the medical field, and you're married to a doctor, and we have several family friends that are physicians, surgeons, whatever they are. There is that kind of God complex to where these doctors, your whoever is your, when you go through residency, I mean, they really are like God. You look up to them, you listen, you basically form your life around their needs, what they want from you, who they tell you to be, and it makes you into good little soldiers. That's how you get special treatment. That's how you get to go into the cool surgery. That's how you get promoted. That's how you get, it decides where you land in your first job. And so you're rewarded to follow the path and follow the pattern. And a lot of those doctors, and you have to be super confident, almost to a fault when you are a physician, you have to be confident in the decisions you make. And I think as underlings, you just kind of fall in line because that's the path and that's what you're aiming towards. And it's the same thing. You look at the military, you know, you mm-hmm. have to be able to take orders. And there is a line of succession. Mm-hmm. There's a line, a chain of command that you have to follow. And to get out of that, you put a lot of lives in jeopardy. And so free thinking in general, whether it's medicine or in the military or some of these other places, is really not fostered. And you're almost punished when you do. So I think the higher you get, and then you get into like the Harvards, and you're getting your PhD, and again, those experts, those professors that have been there, that have written all the books, there's that God complex, that God, you know, you look up to them. And so you just are kind of taught to fall into line. But then I look at us with our kids and growing up, you know, as they were growing up and the vaccine schedule, and we had the sweetest little pediatrician.
Oh, loved my pediatrician.
Loved Jesus. Just so was like the pediatrician in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. He told us, really looking back, I should have questioned a lot. He should have questioned a lot and he didn't. And we fell into that too.
Yep.
You know, and so I think it's just COVID broke a lot of people of just that blind trust and that blind faith and that blind following of the experts. And I think it was necessary and good. But in the meantime, a lot of people made some decisions that maybe they wouldn't have if they weren't listening to the experts.
And you know what? How about this? Something else while you were talking made me think about this because I asked Chris about it. They don't have a lot of time to review a lot of data. So when the data is coming to you from the CDC or the NIH and it's not truthful, but that's what you're relying on and that's what you're taught to rely on for your day-to-day basis, you know, he said, it's very hard to stop and go, wait a second, is this true? Who has the time to research that? So I think that's part of it that you helped jog my memory. But also, it's coming, same thing with military. If the info that's coming down to them from the top is cooked, but this is what you're supposed to follow, you're in a world of hurt because you're leading thousands of people. You have to do what you have to do. So I think there's that element of us as well. And then coming back down to our level with our kids and going through the vaccine schedule, more information has come out, not just about COVID and myocarditis and getting into the heart of dead people on autopsy and biopsy, but it is that little children who are going through all the vaccines on the schedule are found to be far less healthy than the children who did not get vaccines or got limited vaccines or are doing like the Japanese, waiting until children are after 2 years old before they give them anything, but sparingly so. That's the other part, like you said, that broke us all. And I look back and I'm sure that autoimmune disease was introduced to my family. And it's my fault because I didn't ask questions. You did what they told you to do, and you learned to live with it. And now I think, well, I was too scared to ask questions. The first time I started asking questions was with Gardasil.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
And some of our friends are still questions. Are like, you just don't know. You need to do this. And I'm like, I don't think I do.
Yeah. I think they pushed us a little too far. I look back on some things and I feel guilt. I don't know. I guess I should just tell my kids, I'm sorry. I didn't know better. It's like the whole cell phone thing. We didn't know what a smartphone would do, how terrible it was. I think we were going to talk about brain rot the other day, but I mean, it's the same thing. We didn't know. That's not really an excuse, but I didn't go to medical school. I didn't study MMR vaccines. I don't know. So sweet little doctor who loves Jesus, I'll trust you. And I don't think he did it maliciously. But I wonder why more people weren't asking questions, but I think you're punished when you ask questions. And we know that because of our friend Jordan Vaughn, who asked questions and really got punished and almost lost his whole business. Now he's like testifying in front of the Senate. It's pretty cool. He stuck with it and has come really far and has been so outspoken. And that reminds me, he is one that is working a lot with long COVID vaccine injuries. Mm-hmm. He at Jordan Vaughn with MedHelp here in Birmingham. And if you need help with that, he is a great resource. He is very packed, but he has a whole team of people now,
yep.
Doctors that will help you with that. There's also, is it the FLCCC?
Yeah.
Did I get that right? The Frontline Critical Care. Let me look this up because I got it wrong last time. But there is a protocol, a detox, basically spike protein detox that they changed it. Let's see.
It's saying again, maybe they changed their name to the Independent Medical Alliance.
Yeah. So yeah. If you it'll take you there if you type in.
Frontline COVID docs, FLCCC.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Thanks, JP.
Mm-hmm.
So they have protocols for COVID-19. They have early intervention. They have hospital treatment protocols. They have how to detox from the spike protein. Again, I did not go to medical school. I just didn't. So I am not a doctor. But I am telling you that there are things you can do under a doctor's supervision that will help you detox and get all that out of your system. Sometime we need to talk about, again, the documentary or the thing we filmed with Richard Hirschman, who was one of the very first embalmers that found all the rubber band-like protein clots.
Yes.
Oh, it's a doozy.
I wonder if Richard would come on.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
Let's get him to come on.
I think I have his number.
It's fascinating.
He would be really good.
Yeah, we held
good.
The clots when it first came out and people were like, that's not happening. He was one of the first in the country because he's an embalmer and he found it to speak out and to tell people what was going on. And then we did an interview with him and he's really nice. But oh, for the love of all that's good and holy.
I'm laughing because remember I took two of the little vials of the clots home?
Did. Which Where is, are they?
So... Well, one disappeared. I swear somebody stole it. I don't know why you would steal the clots. But the other one I smashed on my laundry room counter and the clots went everywhere.
Did they really?
Yes. I didn't mean to. It was up on a shelf.
Oh, well.
And they spilled everywhere.
Well.
Isn't that
so
weird?
Gross.
That's so weird.
She would have made a great doctor because she thinks.
Really, I love.
Gross stuff is cool.
Yeah, they felt like wet rubber bands.
They did. It was really weird.
It was strange, and it's kind of like if you had the early versions of COVID, you knew it was from a lab because it was the most bizarre. Nothing about it was
you
normal.
I felt weird. We were in New Orleans on weekend X where it started spreading. And we had a conference. I got it immediately. And it felt weird. I cannot explain it. It did not feel normal. My chest hurt, but my head hurt. And I couldn't place it. It didn't have a name yet. But looking back, that was a weekend where they were like, X marks the spot. This is one of the places where it proliferated. But yeah, you knew. You're exactly right, Allison.
It just was so
Made
different
no sense.
Than anything you'd ever experienced. So. We were right. Once again, put also, it on the whiteboard.
Could we hold Anthony Fauci responsible? Can we find Trump? Please, can you find a way to hold him accountable? Please.
Trump is on a roll.
After a fair trial, of course.
I don't even need the trial.
Let's just put him away.
Let's just be done.
He's a despicable human being. He is. I'm sorry.
He needs to be held accountable. And if auto pen was used, let's just un-auto pen it.
Okay.
Okay. Got to take a break. You're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.